Simpsons Index, an online spreadsheet that is also a podcast. This is The Podcast.
Coming to you from SideQuest Studios, this is The Simpsons Index, episode 229. Hello out there, I'm your host Elliot J. O'Neill, and joining me here as always, except when he's not, is B.T. Calloway.
Aboo!
Can you tell it's October?
October!
And joining us all the way from beautiful Melbourne, from the podcast Murph's Tavern, is Murphy McLaughlin.
Hello, fantastic to be here. I feel pressure now to do a Halloween thing. It's me, Murdery McLaughlin. There we go.
Being put on the spot and having to riff. Ooh, so spooky.
Yeah, I have nightmares about that for sure. So. No, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us for the Simpsons Index. Of course, it's a podcast where we review Simpsons from all across the decades. And yeah, Murphy, bringing you for the first time on the podcast, we like to ask our first-time guests, you know, what is your Simpsons history? You've got a pretty unique one as well, being that you're also running a Simpsons podcast.
Yes.
So yeah, where's the show begin with you, though, in your life?
I am an Australian in my 30s, so it's a legal requirement. I have to have a Simpsons podcast, right? Yeah, so I started out watching it when I was about 7, which I think is actually kind of a late bloomer for Australians, right? Like, because the show, especially people our age, like, I knew friends that were watching it since they were like 5.
It was just ubiquitous. It was just always there.
Yeah, totally.
Was that a parents banning it thing or just never got around to it?
Parents were not against it, but we just didn't really watch it. But yeah, my cousins did, a lot of people I knew did. And I think they caught on that it was a little adult, so maybe they weren't too keen. Yeah. But then it was Burns Mania. It was when Who Shot Mr. Burns was around. So 96, I think that was. And it was everywhere. Like in the lead up to that second parter, everyone was talking about who did it, who killed Mr. Burns, even though it had already aired 6 months earlier in America.
Yeah.
We were so like, yeah.
Back then there were no internet, so we had to wait for the television to tell us.
Kind of, yeah, it's crazy that everyone was still like, who's it going to be? When you could find out, but that's actually how it came to be. Like, my mate at school was like, hey, my auntie has the internet, and we found out that it's Maggie. And
spoilers for everybody out there.
Oh shit, you can believe that. But I was like, oh well, and I kind of used, because I'd been keen to watch the show anyway, because I think I just enjoyed like seeing it in, especially with Who Shot Mr. Burns, is the whole shtick is all the suspects, right? So all the townsfolk, and I just love that, like seeing all the different characters in all the promotional media. And I remember asking my cousins, being like, who's that? And they were like, that's Mo. And I was like, whoa, Mo. And I used that as the excuse. I said to my dad, hey, because I think my mum was out of town. And I said to my dad, hey, tonight, can we watch The Simpsons? Because you find out who killed Mr. Burns. And my friend at school says it was Maggie. And I want to see if he was right. And he was like, yeah, I guess, whatever. And from there, I was hooked. Like, it confirmed that, yes, this was the greatest show of all time. And because it was on few times a day, every day in Australia back then, you could just catch up. So after like a few months, I think I'd seen like every episode.
Channel 10 in the 90s was just syndication out the wazoo.
Oh, man, it was nuts. But hey, great for us. So then I got the complete guidebook, which is something we bring out a lot on my podcast, Murph's Tavern, is my tattered book, which I'll hold up. I have it here with me. I'll hold up to the screen.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, that is a tattered book.
Yeah, the rumors are true. There are literally pages falling out from around season 7 and 8. And so I got this, and that was real cool. So this was like my Bible as a kid, massive Simpsons nerd. I like to draw the Simpsons a lot as well. And I know you're going to ask when I stopped watching, right? That's
That's it.
That's the follow-up.
Like a lot of things, Channel 10 syndication didn't really last as a concept. So, wondering where you fell off with the show. Are you still watching it?
Yeah, I feel like because of the podcast I do, I am more aware of the current seasons than I would be otherwise, because I did stop watching. I was actually interested to know the exact time frame. So, I did a bit of research in the lead up to this, and I looked through all the seasons. And I think it was around after, so I graduated high school 06, and that's around when the movie came out as well. The movie came out 2007, I'm pretty sure. And it looks like that's when I started dropping off it a bit. I think I was well and truly aware the quality had dropped way before then, but I think his loyalty was a big part of it. And, you know, it wasn't terrible, so I was still watching it every week. But then I think around season 1920 is when I started not watching it every week. Like, it didn't become, which makes sense, I guess. I'd you know.
Yeah, be out of school, you'd be like uni or work or whatever.
Yeah. And then I vividly remember an episode there where I actually made a conscious decision. Nah, fuck this show.
Wow.
I'm done. And that was The Devil Wears Nada in season 21, which I can see on the Simpsons Index you gave all fails. So that's...
That was such a weird one. Homer's like competent. It's like, this is weird.
And yeah, the way Marge almost kisses Flanders, I'm like, but... fuck this shit. So a
betrayal of character just for the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. And I found out recently, I think through your podcast, actually, there's also an episode from the last few years where she almost does the same thing with Smithers.
Yeah, that's right.
Stop doing that. But yeah, so season 21 is when I was like, nah, I'm just not going to watch this anymore. But I can see scrolling through season, there are a few episodes from each season after that, which I did watch. I think just because I morbid curiosity. Mm-hmm. Or like I'd see the review or I'd see the promo for it and be like, okay, I'm going to check that out. What's all that about? Futurama crossover? Okay, watch that. Mm-hmm. And it confirmed it was awful. And then, so I think I definitely though have checked out more recently, even though on my podcast, we only do the first 8 seasons, just from having a Simpsons podcast, I get, you know, through social media and stuff, I get paid.
You're plugged back in.
Yeah. And through listening to yours, actually, I've wanted to, again, morbid curiosity, like you guys have really given shit to an episode. I'm like, all right, I'm curious to actually see how bad, and
Well, yeah, that's the thing that we like to do to ourselves is, it's analyze the crap, you know. honestly,
really get your hands in there.
And, you know, we complain, but we honestly have fun doing it, even when the... episodes are really not giving us much to work with. But yeah, today we're, you know, it's in October. It's appropriate. We do Treehouse of Horrors and stuff. So, like, just a bit of personal history with the Treehouse of Horror episodes. Did you, like, a lot of fans sometimes, like, gravitate towards these ones and say they're kind of the exception that they'll go out of their way to see the new Treehouse of Horrors? Did you like the Treehouse of Horrors growing up? And
definitely growing up. Yeah. I don't think they were ever like, I was never like hanging out around October like, oh, can't wait for the Treehouse of Horror. But at the same time, enjoyed them as much as all the other episodes. I mean, there's some classics. I think Treehouse of Horror 5, I'm going to say from season 6 with the Shinning, Nightmare Cafeteria and Toaster. That's like just flat out one of the best episodes, period, I think.
Absolutely.
Like, regardless of being a Treehouse of Horror. And, you know, you've got so many good, like the one with Hugo, the twin brother, Lisa's Tooth, Monkey's Paw. Like there's so many stand out there. It just was great because it gave the show an excuse to, do stuff they couldn't do in an everyday episode. But that's why in my head I was like, well, the Treehouse of Horror's should therefore continue to be still good in theory because, you know, a huge problem with the show now is they've just run out of ideas, right? And, you know, there's only so many times you can have a Homer Marge marriage episode or some sort of Homer loses his job. So it's like, well, Treehouse of Horror, you can do anything you want, but I feel like, no, they haven't. Like, I'm looking at your rankings for the last few Treehouse of Horrors, and it's like fail, fail, fail. And I made my friends Rob and Lucy Caruana, who have been on Murph's Tavern a few times, they set themselves the task of like watching all the Treehouse of Horrors. And I think they got to like season 20 and they were like, we can't do it anymore. Now they just do it like once a year, and they're just like flabbergasted at how much they screw it up.
Just how nonsensical it all becomes.
Yeah, like, which is a shame because it really should be their time to shine. Like it should in theory be like, this is your episode where you can do what you want. You can
The creative doors are open. You can do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of the shame with the new ones that, like, because with the old ones, you know, you're talking about the Shinning and stuff like that before. It's like they're doing loving parodies of movies that they grew up loving. And like with the new ones, they're just sort of doing what's new and what's just been released in the last 1 or 2 years. And
100%.
Although this one gets a bit of like new injection of creative enthusiasm from its writer, fellow Simpsons podcaster Julia Prescott.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that. Yeah. From Round Springfield, yeah, I think.
Yeah, Round Springfield, FKA Everything's Coming Up Simpsons, FKA Everything's Coming Up Podcast.
yeah.
Amazing journey for, yeah, someone to go from for having a Simpsons podcast right
Which,
into the
yeah, yeah. When I realized that, God, I knew that she'd written one, and it wasn't until after this episode, after I watched it, I realized this was hers. And I was like, I'm going to feel, not that I know her at all, but I feel, it's going to feel a bit more like ripping into it, I felt. But, I mean, credited writer, you know? Like,
exactly.
We've said before that we don't know what the room is like, whether they submit a script and then it just goes into the works and it comes out the other end and maybe completely transformed. We don't know.
Especially when they're not on the writer's team.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So, yeah, yeah. I that makes me feel better in my head.
Yeah.
Not that, you know, spoiler, you don't know how I feel about the episode yet, right?
Man, I got my knives out. Don't worry.
All right. Well, better hook in with the preamble before we get into our feelings on this one.
Yeah.
All right. So, we just watched Season 32, Episode 4, Treehouse of Horror, XXXI. First released in November of 2020, you couldn't tell by the intro, directed by Stephen Dean Moore, written by Julia Prescott. Yeah, in this episode's Treehouse of Horror. Yeah, overall impressions, what do we think of this one?
Mixed bag, but, you know, better than some.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, look, I feel like already people listening going, this guy hates New Simpsons. Like, he's ranted about him. He doesn't like anything past season 20. And even, yeah, if you've listened to Murph's Tavern, you know that I can be pretty critical of new episodes. So I went into this wanting to be positive. I didn't want to just be that guy ripping on it. And, you know, I tried to push all prior negative experiences aside. And I hated it. I thought this was so bad. I really, oh God, I just thought it was so lame.
Yeah. I feel so very seen as someone who's watched a lot more of the new stuff. Because my reaction is, it's better than some. And yours is, fuck!
Yeah, yeah. Generally speaking, yeah, no good. Didn't like it.
No, and I mean, I think we try our best to go into every episode going, okay, clean slate, you know, what you got for a Simpsons. And, you know, sometimes we can be surprised. Like, we gave shiny gold to fucking Highway to Well the other week, another season.
One of
30.
Our highest ranks of, you know, the modern era ever.
Yeah, so. So it can be done.
Yeah, it's difficult to go in with a clean slate, but you try your best.
Hey, I liked, I don't know what you guys gave it, but I did check out Serious Flanders. I didn't mind that. I thought that was all right.
Yet to do it. It's gotten a mixed bag from those who have. So.
Right. That's been a polarizing one. Yeah, previous guests, Phil did not like it at all. And also previous guest, James from Pods in the Key of Springfield. He said, yeah, if you're reviewing that one, can you give that one a sneaky silver for me? Like,
oh, there you go. Okay.
So yeah, that one's been polarizing. I'm looking forward to doing
I'm thinking of watching it after this, but
yeah.
No, I didn't mind it. And that's coming from someone who's very big on ripping on the new ones.
And you know, that is an example of one where they're, you know, breaking format, doing a non-canon episode. And, you know, that's to me what at the heart of the Treehouse of Horror, you can forgive them a little bit more for that. And, you know, they're experimenting.
For playing outside the usual lane, because it is an open invitation to experiment.
Yeah. And yeah, this one, I got to agree, it totally missed the mark for me. But yeah, let's hook in anyway. So the first segment, we get like a little intro of the 2020 election. Now, this has been like a running gag for a few Treehouse of Horrors now where they'll...
Every election.
Yeah, every election they'll do an election bit. Like they had one where Homer was trying to vote for Barack Obama and it kept registering as John McCain and then the machine ate him. Anyway.
Yeah.
So what do we think of this one? The Trump-Biden election.
A little weird to see Simpsons being topical and wearing masks. I get it. It's 2020. It's fair enough. But at the same time, it just feels odd.
That's a bit jarring. Yeah. I actually didn't... If you... going to consider this one a segment, this is actually probably the least offensive to me. I didn't really hate it. I just, like, it didn't really do anything for me.
Didn't really register anything.
Cringy when, like, Mole Man was like, I should have voted for Kanye or something. I mean,
this starts with the 2020 election and ends with Ed 209 killing Hans Molman.
Mm. What's Ed 209 from, sorry?
RoboCop.
Ah, right.
Yes, right. I should know that I get RoboCop references all the time from the name Murph. But I don't know. It definitely felt dated. But then again, whatever. Like, the list going by Homer was okay. I thought that was all right. Especially like the gag where he's then, it's actually the angle changes and it's...
Yeah, and it's reversed for him.
Going by. I thought, yeah, it's a nice little twist on that sort of...
Which is a hidden talent from Homer to be able to read backwards. But
and quickly as well.
Yeah.
True.
But yeah, it's one of those things that it's like, it's funny and then you remember, oh, yeah, that all happened, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an uncomfortable thing to reconcile, unfortunately. And, like, yeah, you're right. It does feel dated where Homer, like, the one thing he remembers out of the last 4 years is Faye Dunaway giving the Oscar to the wrong person.
Yeah, totally, yeah. I'm like, okay. I think I actually had seen that. I think that clip was doing the rounds, the opening segment, like, when that episode came out.
Yeah, it was definitely hit the YouTubes.
Yeah, I think someone sent me the link. And so I had actually seen that bit, which is maybe why it wasn't as... I didn't react as like, oh, because I'd already maybe had that reaction a few years ago. But it was what it was.
Yeah. We head into our first proper segment, Toy Gory. Mm-hmm. Very, very clever pun. So this is kind of unsettling to look at. So, you know, we remember back in the classic Homer 3D segment that it was such a big deal at the time that Simpsons were going to a third dimension.
Yeah.
And they don't even, like, set it up or anything. They're just straight in. Just Simpsons are 3D now, motherfuckers.
Yeah, and I feel the most comfortable ripping on this one because the writer probably didn't say, hey, guys, do a 3D segment. Make sure you spend extra money on it. So it was probably something added in by a different writer, and this is the segment I enjoyed the least.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's just pointless. It's what if Bart's toys got revenge on him,
and
that's the plot.
What pisses me off about this is that's already the plot of Toy Story.
Yeah.
that is what happens to the kid Sid in Toy Story.
But what if Bart? And that's where you stop writing the script.
Like, if they wanted to go Toy Story parody, commit and actually have, like, maybe Bart as Andy, Nelson as Sid, and, like...
Yeah.
Like, I kind of didn't mind that they had, like, the Krusty doll communicating with the Radioactive Man doll. Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah. But, like, go full on with that. Like, have it that Krusty is Bart's favorite toy and he's jealous of Radioactive Man. And then you could use, like, toys you've shown previously on the show. Mm-hmm. Or even, like, you could have, like, Itchy and Scratchy toys and, like, have them... Like, go on, I don't know, a mission to save the toys from Nelson and, like, but, yeah, the way they did it was just, what the hell is this? Just felt very lame.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was surprisingly flat, like, no pun intended for the 3D segment. It's just, like, it's kind of like the Lego episode. I don't know if you'd seen that one at all.
I think I started watching it. And
It's an okay app, but I think we gave it participant. But anyway.
It looks nice.
It looks nice, but yeah, that's the problem. It's kind of hollow at the same time, and this is running the same thing where they're going to the extra effort to animate all this stuff, but yeah, nothing really of substance to do with it. Like,
it didn't jump out. Like, the animation didn't seem that great to me. Like, they've used... Because back when they had Simpsons video games, the cutscenes were this sort of animation. So it's not like it's anything new, right?
Yeah.
Like, if this was the very first time ever you'd seen The Simpsons animated this way, maybe. But I don't think it needed to have this animation. Like, I don't think it really, there was no benefit of having it 3D.
Yeah. And then there was this weird bit where the toys are dragging Bart off and Marge and Homer are asleep in front of the TV. And then the TV is playing something in regular Simpsons animation.
Yeah, because they were like, oh, we need to pad this out a little bit. It's a bit short, but we can't. We've already done all the 3D rendering.
Yeah.
I guess it'll just be 2D now, is what it felt like. Maybe it was meant to be a joke of they're watching the flat version for some reason, but it felt to me like, yeah, it was just extra stuff they had to add in.
I felt the same way, BT. Yeah, I feel like that was even maybe like cut from another episode or something. And they just shoved it in there. Because it was very jarring. Like, why is this suddenly 2D? And it wasn't a funny joke either.
No, I can't even remember what it pulled to.
Ripping on the TCM network. Ooh, take that, Ted Turner.
Put him in his place.
Yeah.
They just Turner broadcast is boring, you know. Cool joke. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm only aware of this network, by the way, because back on Optus Vision back in the 90s, that network would either air old movies or WCW wrestling. So,
all right, there you go.
Once again, Sneaky Elliott's Wrestling Corner. Got to get one in every time.
That's becoming a thing, yeah.
Yes, it is. Transitioning to when we run out of Simpsons episodes, we're just going to review every episode of WCW Nitro.
There you go.
I mean, does it dip in quality as the years go on?
Oh, yeah.
Will you still have the same rating system?
Yeah, naturally.
Got to figure out something instead for Cubic Zirconia. The World Heavyweight Championship, I guess. But the animation as well, like,
there you go.
The texture of the Simpsons skin, I couldn't quite work out. I don't know.
Kind of rubbery, but not.
Yeah. It didn't look like skin, and then was extra unsettling when we see Grandpa in a few shots.
Yeah. It's meant to, I guess, my best guess is emulating what they look like in the original Toy Story, which was a little bit, I don't know, Play-Doh-y.
And there was a half reference to that where they, you know, for the first part of the segment at least, they only showed Marge from, you know, waist down to reflect Andy's mum. Yeah.
Yeah. They abandoned that after a few seconds, I think, when she's in the kitchen and she goes, wine time.
Wine
she
time.
She drinks wine. It's like, what? What's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. Even for Treehouse of Horror, Marge could only have a half a glass of wine. We've established that. And here she's just fucking necking a bottle of Sauv Blanc.
But even then, the joke is, Marge is so sad, she drinks. Like, cool. Thanks, TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you guys have any other moments from this segment that stood out to you?
There was actually, so I laughed twice in this episode. So let's be positive. One of those laughs was from this segment. And I look back and I'm like, why did I laugh at that? But at the time, I definitely got a chuckle from me is when it's Radioactive Man's funeral and Krusty is like, well, now give the, is it batteries instead of ashes?
Accessories to the widow. Right.
Accessories to the widow. And it's the monkey with symbols. And even before Krusty's line, his wife was a monkey, whatever. Like, I just laughed at the idea of his wife being a monkey with symbols.
I think it's a great example of where a joke does not need an extension. Because I'd laughed at, you know, his accessories will be given to his widow and it's the symbol monkey and that's it. But then to have Krusty go, his wife was a monkey.
Yeah.
Well, love is love. It's like, no, it was funny just to have you hand the accessories to the widow.
Which is, that's something they do a lot on New Simpsons, right?
Explain
joke, which makes less sense when you've countering the fact they've got only so many minutes to tell the episode these days.
Yep.
Why are you then doing that extributive joke? But no, I did laugh at that. I thought the monkey symbol bit was all right. But no, I think it was just like, if you're going to do a Toy Story thing, fine, but do a new twist on it. Bart being mean to the toys and the toys getting revenge is just straight up from Toy Story. I mean, obviously they did the extra level where they were like brutal to him, like, but I don't know, I also don't really, and this plays into later in the episode with the Lisa story, but I don't really enjoy seeing a kid getting tortured and maimed, like, especially when it's someone we love.
Wild
like,
take, but
and the problem with this, you know, Toy Story parody is that they don't have an Andy parallel. You're right, Bart's Sid, but we don't have an Andy to sort of given any heart. So when the episode ends and Bart gets turned into a toy, which is not a, I actually quite enjoyed that twist. I wish that was more of the episode of
because there's no ending. It's just the toys kill him and turn him into a toy, and then we're still here for another like 3 minutes.
I thought that at least had 3 minutes of story of the family, you know, keeping their toy Bart son. But the episode just ends with a blank title card. Our message: don't buy toys. How about you, BT? Anything else from this one stand out to you?
Yep, I kind of like when he puts the Stretch Armstrong on Homer's car and then it just ricochets it into his bedroom. I didn't see that coming, so it got me. Bart is terrible at taping boxes. He's got like a tape gun and he puts like two tiny strips on the top. No, that's not how you do that, you idiot. There's a bit where Bart's doing the voice of Krusty, but he sounds like Nelson.
Yeah, That was very...
I know, it's a weird, because it's an example of, no, you sound like Nelson, do it again, please. Like, get another take. And they just didn't, because this is where how few shits are being given. And just this segment was depressing.
Yeah.
So,
and due in no small part to the two Randy Newman parodies in here.
Sorry, there is there's kind of an okay joke in that, you know, Bart now has a pull string and it says, you know, I'm Bart Simpson and I love my parents, and Homer and Marge start crying because they've lost him forever. There's kind of, you know, instead of it being they've been given what they wanted, now that they've got, you know, this replacement, it's just a reminder of what they've lost. but it doesn't get played into enough to be a joke. Anyway, that was my last on that.
Yeah. And yeah, this is the Randy Newman parodies. Oh my God. That would just, because it's like delivering at you so slow, it's just,
yeah.
In the Randy Newman verse, it's just,
it's funny, he sings like this.
And twice.
You got a parody.
And it's been done to, I remember them doing a Family Guy joke about that 20 years ago.
Like, exactly.
It's not new.
All right, so the second segment, Into the Homerverse. Of course, because everything got to do a multiverse now. But yeah, it did make me think, oh my God, yeah, Spider-Verse was that long ago.
Cool, thanks for that reminder, Elliot.
Well, anyway, what do we think about this? Homer accidentally causes a rip in the space-time continuum or science whatever and makes
this
six
I'm
Homers.
Mostly meh. Because it's, again, it's just, hey, here's this thing, let's take basically the same premise and run more or less the same idea. And the main plot beats don't really make sense. Like, Mr. Burns at the end is all like, you know, I've won at last, and I assume I'm still the richest Mr. Burns. And then Smithers from, like, the noir dimension is like, well, in my world, you're Smithers' sidekick, which doesn't make sense. He would say my sidekick, not Smithers' sidekick. Whatever. But then Mr. Burns is like, oh, no, I better undo the victory I just did. I'm like, why?
Yeah, I was lost. I don't know. And this is the same with the Lisa one as well. But how are you managing to make these, what should be just simple, real basic story segments, convoluted? Like, how I shouldn't be confused by what's going on. I don't know. Mixed on this one.
Yeah.
I did have one segment, which is probably my least favorite part of the whole episode, where Homer, Princess Homer, is singing in the kitchen and then tries to get my, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, that was just eating up time, I felt.
Yeah.
And you had Lisa explaining what happened. I'm like, we already know what happened.
Exactly.
Explanation of what happened is you ripped a hole in the space-time continuum. It's like, that's not an explanation. That's what happened. It doesn't really explain how or what you're going to do about it.
All right. Now explain it to us in song very slowly.
I'm like, you only have a certain amount of time to tell this story. What are you doing? But anyway, that was probably my least favorite part of the whole episode.
Yeah.
But I did quite like, or I thought it was kind of cool, the final fight scene with all the Mr. Burns and all the Homers.
Yeah.
I thought if the segment had been more of that sort of thing,
because
it was, pretty cool animation, pretty cool seeing all the different designs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, seeing Burns Bowser going off against the 16-bit Homer was pretty cool. And
and with like, gives like Princess Homer the green beer and stuff like that. Like that's, that sort of stuff was okay. But Princess Homer, I didn't think it looked like Homer. I thought that was weird.
Well, the parallel was sort of like, I don't know, a bit weak anyway. Like, for the other ones, they felt like, you know, pretty tight homages to, you know, whatever their source material was. This one was, the Homer Princess was just sort of a bit loose. And I don't know, I'm sort of noticing in these recent seasons, they're like dropping Disney name drops just to appease their new Disney overlords, perhaps.
I did feel like
gotta make business daddy happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought maybe they could have done something with like, because you know, in Into the Spider-Verse is like, is like an older Spider-Man, right?
The Nick Cage one.
No, not the noir one, like the one that's kind of been Spider-Man for 20
as
years.
Because he's a teenager, right? Miles, whatever. Teenager. And then the ones he's hanging out with, a couple of them are adults, right?
One where Mary Jane's left him and he's all depressed and gotten a bit chunky and is like,
yeah.
Oh, I know this bit. He's going to say you have 24 hours.
So I thought maybe they could have done something with that, like have younger versions of Homer. Maybe that could have been a nice little twist on it. Like have Homer, even like use the designs that have been featured in the show, like 10-year-old Homer, because he's always pretty funny. And you know, Matt Groening was keen to do like a little Homer spinoff even or something like that. So, you know, have Homer as a kid, have teenage Homer, have Homer from his 20s, then have like older Homer. Maybe that could have been something they could have done with it just to make it a bit more original.
No, I mean, you totally bring up a good point, because Spider-Verse, what was so great about it is, the first couple of multiverse Spider-Men were still grounded, in the former Spider-Gwen and old Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until, you know, when the movie needed a comedic kick-up that, they introduced anime and Peter Parker and Nick Cage, which
You hold your hand over a burning candle just to feel something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try
so
to solve a Rubik's Cube. Fuck, it's a good movie.
But you're right. That's like the third act that those ones get brought in, right? So whereas Simpsons in this parody, they've just gone straight to crazy and having different.
Straight to wacky. And like, they go to some efforts to like include the styles, but they just, again, just feel really hollow. Like video game Homer just jumps up out of nowhere, hits the roof, and then donuts appear. Like,
yeah.
I rewound that bit because I just like, did I miss something?
What did
I
miss?
But and I also feel, not that I've seen that many new Treehouse of Horrors, but haven't they done episodes with multiple Homers? And didn't they have like where he clones
himself?
Yeah, that
was
right?
a clone. Yeah, with the magic hammock.
So they've kind of already done that, and they've also done an episode where there's like the Tracy Ullman version of themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They meet their Tracy Ullman versions, and Tracy Ullman Marge is horny as fuck for Homer.
yep.
The other bit that I didn't get as well, anime Homer, I think it's during the song, is fighting like a bunch of little spiky black dudes.
Is from Spirited Away, where there's little tiny ash motes.
That's what that was from. Okay, yeah.
So that's what that's a reference to. It's not great, but it's there.
Yeah, those ultra-specific references do get in the way sometimes. Like anime Homer eating the bacon, I kind of paid the bit with, you know, the moving background and stuff like that, like, in the style. But, anyway, that's about all I've got for this section. How about you guys?
My two primary problems with this are basically on a fundamental storytelling level, in the sense that when this cataclysm happens, we get a bunch of extra Homers, but then Homer himself keeps changing. And then some of the other Homers also change. It's like, okay, which is it? Are we getting a bunch of Homers in the same room? Or is it the one Homer changing constantly between dimensions? Yeah. Because you can't have both.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. That's doubled down on when, I think it's Marge is like, don't you understand? If you don't get them back to their own dimension, you'll die. And it's like, why?
Yeah.
There's no reason for that to be happening. If it was him and he was constantly changing, then that would be a reason to want to undo it, because you want to go back to your regular self. You don't want to change into a different Homer every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's just, they don't even understand what they're doing within a 7-minute segment.
Totally.
They've forgotten what's going on.
They need to like decide, are we doing a story?
Yeah.
In which case, make it make sense. Or are we just having fun with it and just doing gags?
Yeah. And it's just, so have it as, you know, Homers keep coming through, but they keep coming through and there's getting more and more and that, you know, instability is increasing. That's fine. That's enough of a motive to want to fix it. But it's just the fact that they have multiple. Even then, when it resolves and you've got Noir Homer with Marge, who then turns into Snagglepuss Homer, it's like, but you changing personalities wasn't the thing. That was like Prime Homer that was doing it. It's just, it's a mess. And again, it is a 7-minute segment. To forget how your own 7-minute segment works is baffling.
It feels like their motivation is to just get these crazy Homers doing crazy Homer shit. Like,
yeah,
when
which
the
is
news
fine, it's good. It's good for the YouTube clicks, but come on.
Yeah. But yeah, like when they're doing the news report and they're just going from fucking thing to thing, and then and now they're at Krusty Burger, and then they decided to do a doo-wop group, and it's like, what the fuck is going on?
Those were too many bites. I did like the bowling alley is overbowled and the library is untouched.
Yeah.
I was like the idea that every crisis they just throw to what's happening at the library.
Yep, sure.
But my final notes is it starts with Homer being like, what? Who ate all this candy? And it's like, okay, I know. Oh, wait, you're going to show me what him watching a security footage of him eating all the candy. I kind of already figured it out, guys. It's not hard to see Homer surrounded by candy wrappers and know who did it.
It went for too long as well. Again, you've got 7 minutes. Why are you doing a 1-minute gag, which is, I think they could have cut it. I didn't mind him being carried out on a stretcher and then coming back.
Yeah.
But make that like the punchline, even. Like, don't just have it keep going.
No, absolutely. And then it's like, also right next to that extended giving kids Advil for Halloween fantasy.
Why are we
spinning the wheels?
And my last two are negative notes of Noir Homer just shoots Ned. Like, there's no joke there. He just shoots him.
Right in the throat. Causes immediate decapitation.
And I forgive you. Okay,
and no one bats an eyelid. Like, at least when, you know, Homer kills zombie Flanders, it's a zombie apocalypse. But right now,
and there's the line
just
of,
murdered,
you know,
their neighbor.
He was a zombie?
Exactly.
And then when anime Homer's fighting Mr. Burns, his eyes just explode. No reason. They just explode.
Oh, that's from the other Miyazaki film. No, I don't know. How about you, Murph? Any other things about this segment?
I feel like they wasted a few options. Well, like, you know, there are so many Hanna-Barbera cartoons. Like, he went from Yogi Bear to Snagglepuss. I was like, okay, cool. They're going to go through a lot of different Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Switch to Fred and they solve the mystery.
They stayed on Snagglepuss for the rest of it. I'm like, hang on, what?
Because Murgatroyd is just so funny.
Yeah, like, have your best possible Hanna-Barbera joke. Did you really decide this is the best we can do about what does Murgatroyd mean? Nobody knows. Come on.
Yeah.
But yeah, nah, just didn't really do it for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Burns holds up the vomit frog from the old Harry Potter segment as well.
Yeah.
Just a little nostalgia pop there. But then, yeah, our final segment, B9 Rewind. Despite the title parody, it's actually more about a parody of Russian Doll.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was my least favorite segment.
Yeah. Oh, really? Same.
This one got my. This is my favorite.
Really?
Controversy.
A little down to what you were saying before, Murphy. It's just a little uncomfortable watching a 9-year-old girl die constantly.
Yeah.
Well, I would say the difference is there's no expression of pain in any of it. So Bart is clearly suffering when the toys beat the shit out of him. But Lisa's like, even when a knife gets in her head, it's just and it's done.
Sure.
That's kind of the big difference for me.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like there's an absence of plot here, and it's just a montage of how can we kill Lisa a bunch.
Mm-hmm. But then it's the same thing as the second segment, where then they do try and cram in plot, and none of it makes any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't quite gel.
I don't get why, like, Lisa and Nelson fade away, and then...
That part really got me, yeah. And then she walks through the front door. It's like, were you fading away to go back to the beginning of the loop, which makes sense, or are you walking through the door where it's implied everyone knows what you've been going through?
And there wasn't a joke at the end of that scene either, I think. She says, "It taught me to live every day, blah, blah, whatever her moral was." And then it's her...
trying to go for heart.
Yeah, but Lisa's just been shown to be a real dick the whole segment.
Oh, yeah. Well. Like, she kills Milhouse.
Yeah, and they kill Gil, which, again, I had a problem with because I didn't... Because Gil wasn't responsible for their deaths in all of the things.
That's kind of why I liked it. It was just so unrelated to anything. This is the solution for some reason.
Yeah, I really didn't like it. But it did have my second laugh from the episode.
Yeah.
When Lisa is... talking about, I'm about to turn 9, I got to get rid of... I think she's talking to a toy. I can't even remember anymore. But she said, I got to put you in my hand-me-downs box. And the box says, for Bart. I thought that was a good joke. Yep. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, for all the old books that she had,
Books, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a good gag. But no, everything else, it just, I think this one made me the angriest.
Like, the one bit of plot, and it's the... probably my biggest laugh of the whole episode, which was when Lisa's like, we need to go to the one person in town that can help us with time and eternity. And they're on their bikes and they're rolling, riding a bike right past the church, and the bulletin board sign out the front says, keep going. I really liked that joke. And then I thought it was going to be Frink, and then it was comic book guy, which to me was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And yeah, I didn't mind that they bribed him with breakfast burritos that were all yolk and double bacon. That, sounds delicious right now. I feel like this segment was a bit rushed as well. Like, I think it needed time from the other segments to build up its plot. I mean, there's a reason why season one of Russian Doll is so good, you know. It takes these wacky live-die-repeat concepts and has time to flesh it out. But, yeah, in this one, it did feel like plot was a second thought and just... how many creative ways that we can kill Lisa was the priority. And they weren't that funny to me.
Like, yeah.
It was just various parts of the house collapsing and...
Pretty much. Also, I did kind of enjoy the bit where she does a little, safety knock on wood kind of moment in the mirror. That causes the mirror to fall on her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think in theory, I liked that joke, but it didn't make me laugh. So, I don't know.
I didn't say I laughed, but conceptually.
Yeah.
And there's something that, we're obviously just getting snippets of some of their attempts. Apparently, they've at least done this 987 times, which...
a lot of times.
And, the final gag as well was inconsistent with their wacky universe as well, which was Ralph's head is now on backwards and he goes, I can watch my food go in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah, why? That didn't make sense. Like, it wasn't it's not like Homer with the toaster. And it also is just, I just felt so lame. Like, that's such a cliched way to end a time travel
stupid Ralph
story. Yeah. Not just Ralph, but having, like, something pop up, like...
not everything's fixed.
Exactly. It felt like... and this is my problem with a lot of the jokes in this episode. It felt like just something from a kid's cartoon or something. Like, it wasn't classic Simpsons clever. Like, it was just... this could have been in anything.
Yeah.
And, another problem I had with this segment was yes, it's a Treehouse of Horror episode, so the characters mm-hmm. don't need to be on point. But Lisa was uncharacteristically just a jerk in this segment. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, okay, you can make her a bit out of character, but don't make her full on, like, just killing people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, BT? Any other notes about this segment that you love so much?
I mean, you know me, I love things so much. I did kind of like Krusty's, you know, doing the balloon animals like worm, snake, cigar, 2x4. Eh?
Yeah. That was all right. Yeah.
As a former clown, that's a good bit.
Yeah. Because it was a slightly less of a betrayal and because you don't actually see it, the bit where Nelson is like, hey, Ralph, take 2 steps forward, and then he gets hit by the car, but you only hear it. And also his line of just, trust me, this helps us on so many levels.
Yeah, I kind of wish there was more of that shit, like the wacky things that they had to work out to put themselves in the right timeline.
It would have been, a nice journey to be like, okay, what random thing is going to be the thing that breaks us out of this? Yeah. So, and then have them try some stuff in the movies. You know, get Andy McDowell to fall in love with them.
Yeah. Nelson kind of learns to play piano. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. And there was one where, to be fair, I'm not sure if it was already there, but they're at Comic Book Guy's place, and it kind of cuts from Lisa and Nelson over to Comic Book Guy. And when it goes back to Lisa and Nelson, Nelson just has a javelin through him. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Wait, when did that happen? But they didn't say it either. It's just there. So it could have started the scene like that, and I just didn't notice.
Maybe Julia Prescott's a Tom Walker fan. Anyway.
Wow, that is a deep, pointless cut. I mean, I got it, but goddamn.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I think that's everybody notes.
Mm-hmm. That's everybody notes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, it must be time to rank this thing after the most important question.
If you could have a sandwich named after you, what would be on that sandwich?
What's on the Murphy?
To draw you a picture, I'm sitting on the couch. I'm watching Simpsons. I'm going to order me a sandwich on Uber Eats. I get the Murph. What's on it?
We're going ham, cheese. Oh, toasted, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, toasted. It's ham and cheese. It's toasted.
Yeah. Capsicum. All right. So blue and red. I mean, green green and red.
Where are you getting your capsicum?
A real Simpsons capsicum, yeah.
Some of that Melbourne blue capsicum.
Yeah. Well, the hydrants here are yellow. but yeah. I'd throw in some tomato, Kewpie mayo.
Yes. Yeah.
And here's what makes it a Murphy sandwich. Mission chips. Some mission chips in there. Yeah. Make sure they're layered on the cheese. So you got the cheese going. So it's got a kind of a nacho feel to it.
Nice.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Give it a go.
The mission corn chips. It took me a second to remember what those were.
Sorry. Yeah. So you can get them in different flavors. Mm-hmm. I would go with just any of the cheesy ones. Yeah.
Cheese on cheese, baby.
Yeah, I think mission's an important distinction because they're not as bold as your Dorito or CC.
Yeah.
They're more subtle in their flow. Yeah.
If you're listening at home and you have some CC's or Doritos or even just home brand corn chips, no. Got to be mission. If you want it to be a proper McGlucksanger, make it mission chips. Yeah, maybe throw some, you can get some mustard in there as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, or barbecue sauce. If you're going barbecue sauce, I'd recommend... Stubbs is a pretty good sauce. Good.
All right.
Or there's also some sauces I've been getting into lately called Whitlock and Son. Pretty good. There's not one that's like a mustard barbecue sauce combo. Yeah, I think you just get them at your local supermarket here in Melbourne anyway. So I reckon that add that to your board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worth taking a trip down to Melbourne, get some of that sauce. That sounds really good.
Big believers in sauce.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, now it must be time to rank this thing. On the Simpsons Index, we rank using a 6-point scale, which starts down the bottom at failure. Maybe if the episode was just, you give it a participant. But for the positive rankings, you got okay bronze, good silver, excellent gold. But for the best of the very best, you give cubic zirconia. I will go first. Let me show you how it's done. Look, this chat has definitely brought me down on this episode. Like,
sorry.
No,
yeah, fair, man.
It's just the thing where in the actual experience of watching it, I was... But like, once you dissect it, it starts to fall apart a lot more. I will go with a participant because I think animation-wise, this episode was doing a few special things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, much like the Lego episode, it's just there's not a lot of substance to go behind it, which brings me down to a participant. But I could very understand the failure. BT?
I'm in much the same kind of corner. What annoys me about this one is how assembly line it is. It's take movie, add Simpsons, and you're done for the day. And it's like, no, you actually have to do something.
Totally.
The mark in its favor is how little I'm going to remember this. It is going to slip right through the brain. So because I don't just actively hate it and I couldn't muster the energy, it's going to be a participant with an asterisk in the sense that apathy is worse than hatred because I don't care, but neither did they.
All right, Murphy, finish it off.
See, yeah, on that point, I actually watched this earlier in the week and mm-hmm. I'm the type of guy that if I don't like something, it stays with me and I kind of fume over
you ruminate on it. Yeah.
It festers.
Particularly
like
that
old
third
sore.
Story. Yeah, so I'm going to have to go the failure.
Yep,
I'm giving this one.
I am glad someone did.
Yeah, I was kind of like the same way. I'm like, I want someone to go the fail.
Look, I honestly went in with an open. I wanted to like it. I was like, mm-hmm. Trials of Horror, it's October, let's have some fun. Yeah, but nah. And I watched it with my wife, and afterwards she turned to me and went, "What the hell did you just make us watch?"
Oh, it gets so much worse.
Yeah, it's not just us Simpsons nerds, you know, that are
the casual viewer is also knives out.
No, remember when we had Paul Sold on and he said he was watching it with his family, and I think he said it was his mother that turned to him and said, "Wasn't this show good at some point?"
I love we only give it snippets of Paul's family, but his mother is like a scathing critic, and I love that.
All right. Well, dull participant for this one, and that sounds very correct. Murphy, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Oh, thank you. It was a lot of fun. And if listeners want to hear more of us together, I believe it'll be after this one comes out. But you guys will be joining me on A Murph's Tavern.
Absolutely. Revisiting an old episode that, we looked at the start of the podcast. But, where can people find that?
Murph's Tavern is anywhere you get your podcasts, basically. And you can also follow it. Give it a follow on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, or one of the three anyway. I do try to actually put up content related to the pod. So whatever episode I've most recently talked about, I'll share like trivia about it and stuff like that. So check it out on the socials. It's Murph's Tavern Pod, or I think on Insta it's just Murph's Tavern. I think the pub in Ireland hadn't got themselves an Instagram, so I should have checked before I named the podcast, but there is a Murph's Tavern in Ireland, as you would imagine. They claimed
sense.
The Murph's Tavern on a few of the socials, but Murph's Tavern Pod or Murph's Tavern. But check it out. It comes out every 2 weeks. Usually it's like Melbourne-based comics on the pod with me. And we just chat about a different episode from the first 8 seasons. So, check it out.
No, it's a great time over there. And I discovered your pod originally through your social pages. And
there you go. Cool.
Yeah, sharing some fun stuff and trivia and pages from the tome as well that you have there.
Yes.
Your beautiful tattered tome.
Simpsonomicon.
Yeah.
It is fun revisiting the book. It's some of the... I also had the pleasure actually of chatting with a guy called Bill Morrison, who if you are a Simpsons fan, especially with the merch, you'll probably know his name, and he helped work on that book. So it was like pretty...
He did a bunch of the comics as well,
yes.
Right?
He was the editor, basically, of... So that's his main claim to fame, is the Simpsons comics. So he was the head publisher, the head editor for Bongo Comics. So, definitely, if you're a fan of the merch as well, check out that episode from a few months ago where I got to talk to him.
Awesome. Wow. Yeah. Nice. And BT, what if people want to hear more of us?
Well, speaking of names we should have thought of before making it, you can also listen to this on this very podcatcher to Thrones of Game, the Game of Thrones podcast we review backwards. It is now a complete and finished series. You can enjoy that. There's also Pulp Fury Radio, our scripted fiction podcast covering a range of pulp genres. So if you want a little bit more fiction in your podcast listening, we got you covered. But for the best of the very best of you, you can head to patreon.com/sidequeststudios. That is the blanket for everything we do. And for as little as $5 a month, that's right, $5 a month, not a day, a month, you can get over 80 exclusive podcasts and counting, where we cover just a whole range of stuff. It is a gorgeous smorgasbord of content.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've got this new show running as well where we're reviewing movies that the Simpsons cast have starred in, which has been an absolute trip. Mm-hmm. We did the Super Mario Brothers movie, the 93 one, the other week. That was a lot of fun. And, yeah, Godzilla Maximum Overdrive. It's, yeah, good time over there. And, yeah, you can join us on the $5 a day tier if you like. There's no extra benefits, but...
Who is in Super Mario Brothers from The Simpsons?
Oh, Dan Castellaneta does like the intro setting up the world narration sort of thing.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
That's so disjointed from everything.
He's in it for all of half a minute, but it was enough to qualify him.
And, yeah. And is the Godzilla film the one from 97 or 98?
Yes. Yeah.
That's got a bunch of them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a triple one. I think that's got the most Simpsons cast members that wasn't a Simpsons project. So that
was. Yeah, there you go.
Nancy Cartwright, Hank Azaria, and Harry Shearer were in that. Yeah. All right, well, yeah, thanks again, Murph.
No worries.
Thank you, BT.
Hoi, hoi.
And I've been Elliot J. O'Neill. That's all the mustard in the house.
Haunted house.
Ooh.
All the mustard in the haunted house. That's your line.
Thank you for listening to the Simpsons Index podcast, which is also an online spreadsheet available at thesimpsonsindex.com. You can chat to us online at facebook.com/thesimpsonsindex or at simpsonsindex on Twitter or Instagram. Now, there's no bonus scenes for this episode, so we'll catch you next week.